You're listening to the Fantasy FC podcast, brought to you by Sky Sports.
Hello and welcome to episode 6, season 1 of the Fantasy FC podcast, also known as Max and Merce's Premier League Predictions, featuring me, Max, and Merce. Hello, Merce.
Hello, Max.
Do you want to know what's on today's podcast?
Please.
Okay, predictions for the Premier League, a Twitter Q&A, Noel Gallagher's 1-11. Our guest on the Fantasy Football Club is Steve Howie. We'll get his 1-11 as well. A good storyteller, Steve.
Yeah, very good.
It's going to be a good show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear some reviews iTunes?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. This is from con_24, right, about last week's pod. Just listening to the Fantasy FC podcast for the first time. Merce choking on curry. Brilliant. Definitely going to be one of my favourite pods.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, I'm on a diet now, though.
So. Okay. You've got some sushi in front of you.
Yeah, I got sushi, yeah.
Okay. Kevin Rudd, the former Prime Minister of Australia, writes, great podcast, slightly off-putting listening to Merce eating his dinner. It's not the bake-off.
Say that again. Who was it?
Well, he's called Kevin Rudd. I don't know if it is the ex-Prime Minister. I was trying to be funny
then,
this early in the pod. But he was slightly put off by you eating your dinner.
You have to understand you're not funny. Quicker you come to terms with that, the better. And you'll stop getting all them tweets.
You know where how comedians, they all say, I had to be funny because I was no good at football.
Yeah.
You know what they say at school, otherwise I got bullied.
Yeah.
But I was okay at football.
Right.
That's why I never had to be that funny.
Right.
So that's the issue. But thanks for letting me know.
No,
Rev U says, decent, hearing Merce ruminating, two thumbs fresh, and then he did two thumbs up emoticon.
I don't know what that word meant.
Okay. And Rory92202 says, I'd honestly listen to a podcast of Max talk about absolutely anything. The man is a personal hero of mine. What's that face?
Is that from your dad?
It's from Rory92202.
Oh, what, and he said that about you? You sure it weren't your dad?
I'm pretty sure my dad doesn't know how to log into iTunes.
No, I know, but how many more people are going to say nice things like that?
Well, I don't know. So that's why I was surprised.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was surprised. Yeah. That's why I thought it was your dad.
Because I don't like to read compliments necessarily.
No,
but sort of unedifying, isn't it?
Go
when
on.
People retweet.
I know, yeah. Themselves. But you picked it and wrote it.
I did. I put it in as well. So look, thanks for
confidence booster for yourself.
Especially after you told me I wasn't funny.
No, yeah, but
now,
I was joking.
There's Rory, so
yeah.
Should we predict the games?
Yeah, got it.
Sunderland versus Manchester United.
Oh, good game. They picked up Man United, you know?
Mm.
Picked up, they're playing really well at the moment. You know, they are playing very well. Sunderland, it was a big point in the end, but I don't know how they got that point. Liverpool dominated that football game. But if you go by Sunderland's results at home to Man City, they're unlucky. But Man United look like a team again now. They do look like a team. And I'm going to go 3-1 Man United.
Do you think Manchester United could get fourth place? They could steal it off City. Looking how bad City were against Leicester.
They were very bad. They were very bad. Man United have had a bad patch. They could go on a run now. I thought they thoroughly deserved a draw against Chelsea. I mean, I thought they played very well first half. They can go on a roll. They can. I mean, but... Yeah, Man City would... How many points, Man City? Five?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's not a million, is it? I mean, if they go and win this game and all of a sudden, what's the name get beat?
6 points.
Yeah, and all of a sudden Man City did get beat by Tottenham, it's three and that's nothing, is it? So, no, I think they've just got to keep on going along. I think they've got a rich vein of form, a lot of confidence in the team. I don't know how this is going to affect them, what's in the paper today.
About Jose.
About Jose. But I'm going to go 3-1 Man United win, and I've been very impressed with them the last couple of weeks.
I'll go 2-0 to Manchester United.
Yeah.
On that Jose front, what do you think? Right thing for Manchester United to do, wrong thing?
I think Man United have to do something. The problem is you just do that, and then all of a sudden Van Gaal gets his team playing like they are now for the rest of the season. They fly into the top four, you know, maybe win the FA Cup or the Europa, and all of a sudden you're thinking, wait there a minute. You know, I was a bit shocked because you look at Jose and you're thinking... Man City just brought in Pep. He's going to have a wish list of 5 or 6 players that probably he will have to have. Otherwise, I don't think he would have signed for the club. So, you know, to go and mix it with him would surprise me. But I can understand where Man United have come from. He's a top manager.
Bournemouth versus Stoke City.
Stoke have officially gone.
They just stopped.
No, officially gone. I mean, I watched them the other day against Everton. It could have been 6 or 7-0. I mean, that's not Stoke. I'm a big fan of Stoke. You watch them at home, Stoke. No one does that to Stoke.
Do you think that's because
I've had a bad week.
They've brought in, you know, better players, but they've perhaps lost a bit of that steel.
I think they've lost a bit of that steel. I think, you know, you're talking about Arnautovic. I mean, he's got a, all of a sudden you're reading that there's a clause in his contract that can get him out for so much. That's unsettling, you know. So, for me, I do worry about Stoke. I haven't seen that before. I haven't seen the team do that to Stoke at their ground. I never go against Stoke.
When you say you're worried, what do you mean? I mean, they're 10 points off.
Oh, no, they won't get relegated, but you don't want to see that. That's three games on the trot. They've lost 3-0. I mean, not many teams do that. Team at the bottom of League Two don't do that, you know. So I don't see anything but a Bournemouth win. For me, this is probably the nap of the weekend, you know. And that shocks me saying that about Stoke, because I, you know, you ask a lot of people, I never go against Stoke. So I'm going to go 2-0 to Bournemouth.
I'm going to go 1-1.
So obviously never listened to an absolute dicky bird what I just said, did you?
No, I did. Right. I did. I just think.
But it's... you just don't agree with
it. I thought Bournemouth against Arsenal, they played okay, but I thought the goals they conceded were soft.
Yeah, the playing against Arsenal, it was a bad 2 minutes for them. I think if you take them two goals away, I didn't think there was too much in the game.
Right. You were probably concentrating more than I was during the game.
Of course I was. It's my job. It's not yours.
What is my job?
Sometimes I do get up in the morning and ask myself that. I do get up and think.
Hello, at least you're thinking of me, though, so that's nice. Crystal Palace versus Watford.
Palace are struggling. I mean, they got a result last week, you know, a thoroughly deserved draw at Swansea to stop the rot. Watford surprised me the other day, resting Troy Deeney before the Tottenham game.
Did he have a little knock or something?
No, he come on though, didn't he? So you think, you know, if he had a knock, I wouldn't have played him, because I think they got a chance of the FA Cup if, you know, they're in a league position where they can concentrate for the FA Cup. So it was a bit of a strange one for me. I think if they play their full team, I think this would be a good game. I would go 2-2. I think Deeney and Ighalo, yes.
Didn't
they?
Yes. Well done.
Will cause problems for Palace. And I think with Palace getting players back fit, Kabay played last week, I think it'll be an open game. 2-2, Desmond.
2-1 Watford for me.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Everton versus West Brom.
Oh, Everton were good the other day. They were like the Ireland Go Trotters.
They were that good.
Seriously. As I said, you don't see many teams do that to Stoke at home. No. So I've watched them a lot of times this season. They should never be where they are. You know, when I went mad the other day on Sky, you know, going, shouting off, that's only because you get frustrated. They should nowhere near be where they are.
Eighth, where should they be?
Top five.
Top five?
Yeah, I think they're a very good team. I think top six, definitely. Okay. Definitely, always hovering around the top six, without a doubt. But I look, West Brom, game again. You know, Peterborough in the cup, don't really need that.
Got they did a lot nothing of injuries. In Newcastle, didn't they?
No, that could have been any score. Yeah. And they could have scored at the end. They went through, really, and it was a bad play by Rondon. He should have easy put in Berahino for a tap-in, but messed it up. And they probably could have drawn 1-1, and they should have got beat 10. I'm going to go home win 3-0. 3-0. I think
3-0.
3-0. I mean, Everton are decent, and if they can get going, they'll cause so many problems.
Okay. I'll go with you there.
And another great shout. It looks like that they might be bought.
Really, by American company.
I mean, Bill Kenwright for me has been absolutely outstanding what he's done for Everton. But I always think, why is no one by Everton? You know, a top club. You know, top fans, top players. And you think, people buy that club, that club, that club, that club, and no one ever mentions Everton. And I think people have been missing a trick, and I think if they can get someone to buy them and get three or four top players in, they will be a worrying times for Liverpool.
Norwich City versus West Ham.
Norwich City, West Ham, core. Good games. They're good games, aren't they?
Yeah, they are good games.
Good games.
That's why the Premier League is the greatest league in the world.
Right, we're finished now, Bruce. Off you go. Good game. I would say
Norwich need to win.
Norwich are having one. They're having one, aren't they? Norwich just can't get going. You know, brought in a lot of players and they've dropped
into.
Look
like good signings. Didn't
dropped
they?
In the bottom three, aren't they now?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not good. You need to get out there quickly. I mean, there was a lot taken out of West Ham in the FA Cup against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I think a few players went off injured. You know, what would you look at now if you're a West Ham fan? Or West Ham manager and West Ham team, would you be looking to next week, Blackburn away?
I mean, Norwich. They're 2 points off Man United. But fifth is clearly within their grasp. You would say top four is not.
Yeah.
Having said that, silverware is silverware, isn't it?
Well, that's what I mean. And the FA Cup's big. I mean, you just put yourself out, gone all through that. You know, you've got to have one eye on Blackburn. And I'm going to say for Norwich to take advantage here and win 2-1. If West Ham weren't playing in the FA Cup and all the circumstances the following week, I would have said nothing but a West Ham win. But this is where people go, oh, they're going to get relegated, they're going to get relegated. It's all about timing. And this is a perfect timing game for Norwich City. If they start well, you know, you look at West Ham last week at Southampton. I mean, you was looking, thinking, that ain't the West Ham that we've all been raving about. And that's why it's all about timing with fixtures. 3 weeks ago, West Ham for Norwich would have been one of their hardest games at home. Now they could take massive advantage. Norwich home win.
All right, I'm with you there. I'll go 2-0 Norwich. Swansea versus Southampton.
Take that back about good games. Swansea need a win. I mean, went in front against Palace. Southampton are rolling, you know.
They really are. I'm surprised they're seventh.
Yeah, they haven't let in a goal for, I think, 4 or 5 games since Fraser Foster come back. Mm. So I think they've been very, very good. To go that long without letting in a goal, some going in this Premier League where it's pretty open, you know what I mean? And I'm going to go for a 2-0 Southampton win. I think Southampton look a team. You know, even when they went down to 10 men, they dug in against a talented attacking team and kept a clean sheet. Yep.
Was that a red card? It looked terrible when you first
saw it. Yeah, when you see it, so you got to go by the ref. Like when you first see it, when you see it again from another angle, maybe a yellow, but you can't, you know, as you said, it looked terrible. So
no point.
The
doing
ref
it,
don't have five. Yeah, the ref don't have five angles.
I'll go 2-2. Down at the bottom.
Wait a minute. They've got that many games without scoring, now they're going to let in two.
You could just never predict this beautiful game. Chelsea, Newcastle, down at the bottom.
I like Chelsea's attitude the other day when they fought back. I thought they were second best first half and could have snatched it, you know, if it weren't for, I would say, the best goalie in the world. De Gea, I mean, he's just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the saves he were making the other day were just mind-blowing. And I'm going to go, Newcastle played well against West Brom, but they only won 1-0, so it was always in the balance. The week before, they got absolutely rinsed at Everton. I'm going to go for a 3-0 Chelsea win.
Though I think it'll be 2-1 to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Super Sunday and Valentine's Day.
It's proper Super Sunday.
And it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, why do they do this? Why do they do this?
What do you mean, who's they?
Why did the Premier League do on Valentine's Day do the best Super Sunday?
Well, they can't help that it's a Sunday, can they? Valentine's Day. They can't help that it's.
To be fair, Valentine's Day is for people who want to get together, not for people that are already together. This is what I don't understand.
There's Kate. Hello, Kate, who's listening.
Yeah.
We're
together.
What does she want from Valentine's Day?
What do you think?
I think she wants a beautiful day with her husband to be. And I, with her, I think you should really, you know, take her out.
Exactly. But she's been, oh, who else is want to go up the pub and watch the game with their mates? There's going to be 60,000 people at the Emirates. Yeah. There's going to be 40,000 people at Villa Park. Yeah. There's going to be 25 at the Etihad, probably, if they're lucky. So there's 120,000, 135,000 people, whatever. They won't be indoors. It's for people who like people and they write a card and they go, I love you, I've been looking at you, and they don't give a name.
No.
You know, it's not for people like me.
But you wouldn't mind
We're
doing
together.
It if there wasn't a game on.
But there is.
So what will you do? Villa Liverpool, you could take, you could go out for, you could stop, you don't have to watch that one.
I'm an ex-Villa man, though, aren't I?
Well, I know you are.
I'm an ex-Villa man, so I've got to support the team. Got to support the team. This is a big game for Villa. Just beat Norwich.
Yeah.
Flying. Win this
game. So, let's be clear about this. Will you watch all the games, or will you take the future Mrs. Merson out for a lovely dinner?
Again, it's my job. I have to watch the game.
Oh, is that? Do you play that card? But you can watch them on Monday.
Seriously?
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Jamie's away.
Right.
So I've got all day. I've got no radio show either. I've got all day with the telly in my pants. Happy days.
Right then. Right.
Arsenal v Leicester.
Big game. Yeah. Early morning kickoff makes a big difference.
Does it make it when you're playing?
Massive. Of course it
because
does.
Why?
Well, you've got to be up at what? 8 o'clock? 7:30, 8?
Mm-hmm.
You have a pre-match meal, pasta.
Mm-hmm.
So you're eating pasta at 8 o'clock
that's
in the morning.
Not,
which
wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, which you don't normally do, which you never do, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who gets up in the morning and goes, oh, go on, I have a big bowl of spaghetti bolognese.
Well, I don't.
So all them things got to take into consideration. You know, you're up early in the morning, some players wouldn't get up till 10 o'clock on a 3 o'clock kickoff. You know, so, you know, whoever it does affect players, there's no doubt about it.
Do you think that it comes down to which side adapts better to a 12 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah, for the first 25, 30 minutes, I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's all set up for Leicester. Arsenal play perfectly for Leicester. Arsenal
possession
will dominate
football.
Possession
yeah.
football. They'll be in their half for 70% of the game, and then they'll lose the ball. And I don't mean lump it. They play great balls, diagonal balls to Vardy, who makes great runs. He'll be sitting on Mertesacker. And I dread to think what will happen.
God, it's so fascinating.
You know, Mertesacker, he ain't going to catch him. For me, Arsenal are going to dominate the football match. It's very rare that Leicester are going to get round the edge of the box more than three, four times in a game where they dominate around the box. Why don't you play Bellerin, centre-half, and just say, right, stay on Vardy. Just stick on Vardy.
That's interesting.
You know, he ain't running away from you. You're the quickest player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't running away from you. You know, you ain't got to worry about balls coming in the box because Arsenal are going to dominate the game. So they're not going to be getting down the touchlines, whipping balls in. And they're both around the same height anyway. So that doesn't... How many headers has Vardy got this season?
Not many. His goals are running onto balls.
Yeah, he's not got many headers at all.
No.
So... You know, for me, otherwise I think it plays into exactly like last week with Man City. It plays, this is a dream for Leicester.
And after this game, Leicester's fixtures, until the last three are on paper,
yeah.
like a dream fixture.
I don't agree.
Do you not?
No. Looking back now, when I think about it and I watch Leicester play, these games are perfect. Man City away, Arsenal away. They're going to dominate the game. They're going to have a go at Leicester and they just counter-attack them and pick them off like Leicester absolutely slaughtered.
City.
I mean, like that way. Teams are going to come to... Is it... What's their stadium called now? It's not Walker Stadium anymore, is it?
No, KP.
KP Stadium.
KP.
KC, KP. Baby, give it up, give it up. So, all of a sudden, teams are going to come, sit 10 behind the ball... And they're going to go break us down. Yeah. And will they be able to break them down?
It's interesting, isn't it?
That's the interesting thing. I mean,
also
I've never known, right? I'm sorry, Matt.
That's all right.
For the last three or four days, I've never been asked so many times in the gym, in the steam, in the supermarket, walking along the street. Never been asked so many times who's going to win the league.
That's great, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Could come down to four teams on the last day.
Oh, unbelievable. It's got everybody talking about it. Usually now it's one or two teams, if you're lucky, just running away with it, you know, and now everybody's talking about it.
There's a third of the season left, which is a lot of football
yeah,
to be
and
playing.
People saying, oh, Leicester, you know, it's in their hands and all that. It's a long way to go. This is where it tells. For me...
What's the score going to be?
It wouldn't shock me one iota if Arsenal won easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't shock me one iota if Leicester beat them. It really, honestly, I'm one of them people who easily would go, right, they'll win or they'll win. I don't really sit on the fence, do you know what I mean? I go bang, bang. I can't call it, because I know tactically Arsenal won't have a plan. It will be go out, plan A, just go and play. And they'll pick them off. And, I can see that happening. If Arsenal score early, then I could see Arsenal
walking away with it. Yeah, I can't. I don't know.
Where can I go?
I'm going 2-1 Arsenal.
I'll go 2-1 Arsenal, but I seriously would not be shocked if Leicester won this football match. And if Leicester win this football match, Arsenal are out of it.
Aston Villa, Liverpool.
Villa have to win. It's a great time to watch Villa. I know this don't make sense. They're bottom of the league, but they have to win. Mm. They have to win. There's no point in them playing football and not winning. I mean, massive football result last week against Norwich. You looked and you thought, right, beat Liverpool, just gone out of the FA Cup, looking at other things. They're still in the Europa, aren't they? Is it Thursday in the Europa?
Yeah.
Can't win the league, ain't going to get top four. Do they really want to get Europa League? The only way in for them is the Champions League, is by winning the Europa. So Villa's a great timing for them, but and then you look at Norwich, you've got West Ham, who've got other bigger fish to fry. I'm going to go Villa to win this one 2-1. Because, again, I just think it's all about timing, and I think Liverpool have got bigger fish to fry later on in the season.
I go Villa 1-0. Manchester City Spurs. Big is that the Arsenal-Leicester games happen 4 hours before it, or 2 hours before it?
Yeah, massive, of course, definitely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at it and you think if Leicester go and win that football match, they're going to be 8 points clear of Arsenal. What's that, 8 points clear of Man City? You're looking at something like 8 points, is it?
At the moment, yeah. They're five clear of Spurs now.
So yeah, would be and eight. How many are they five clear
they're
of?
They're five clear of Arsenal. Yeah. And they're six clear of Manchester City.
So if they win Leicester, they go 9 points clear, yeah? Mm. And 8 points clear. A draw's pointless to either team. Yeah. So both teams would have to go out and win the game. For me, very rare, but them two teams will be cheering on Arsenal to win that game.
Isn't that amazing?
Because you can't, look at it and go, right, I hope Leicester win because we could chase down Leicester.
Or they want a draw.
Or a draw, but for me, I watched Man City.
City were bad against Leicester.
Yeah,
they can't be that bad again.
They just played into their hands. I said on Soccer Saturday before the game, I said, this is perfectly set up for Leicester, the way they play. It's like, Man City are one of them teams. You see it every week. We'll beat these, They're not better than us. And it don't work, half the seats behind the goal, a lot of the seats behind the goal are empty, which is, that is just phenomenal. Mm. I mean, this team are trying, they're taking Pep Guardiola on to rule the world and they can't fill their stadium on a game, second, in the morning. So it's not like it's Valentine's Day and you've got to take the missus out. I mean, this is a game where you just go to the game and then you've got all day after that. It was phenomenal. I don't see Tottenham losing. Don't see Tottenham losing.
They've only lost three this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-1. 1-1. I mean, I don't think they haven't got that killer pace that Leicester have got on the counter attack that could majorly hurt Man City. But at the same time, they'll be open enough for Tottenham players to get on the ball, and Kane will have too much for them.
I'm going to follow my heart and go 2-1 Spurs.
Yeah.
We'll do a Twitter Q&A in a second. You like those?
Yeah, I love them. Yeah. I love the questions.
But before that, we'll get a classic 1 to 11 this week. Noel Gallagher.
In that, I'm going to go with Joe Hart. He's already the future of our club. And of England, the international team. He's a good lad, and he'd think he'd walk into any team in Europe. He's my goalie. Right back, I'm going to put Zabaleta in. Always getting his nose broke, always getting his head kicked in. His name's Pablo. Does it get any better than that? I don't think so. And he has fish and chips for his tea every Friday. He lives like a king. Fish and chips. I don't even have fish and chips every Friday. My missus won't allow it. Unbelievable. Left back, got to mention Willie Donaghy, but I'm going to go for Gael Clichy. Name's Gael. All right. But that's got Coronation Street connotations there. Google it, Gael. Centre half is our captain, Vincent Kompany. £6 million for that player is just a colossal bargain. Alan Anson rates him as maybe the bargain of all time, and he hates everyone. So how good must he be if Alan Anson hates everyone and he rates Vinny as one of the greatest centre-halves of all time? He's got to be good. Joleon Lescott, the most relieved man in all of football, I would have thought, after his diabolical, shocking assist to Cissé on the last day of the season. But I'm going to give him the nod over both Tommy Booth and Dave Watson because he's got the medal. He's got the medal. And if you've got the medal, you're in. So midfield, Yaya Toure. His name's Yaya. Unbelievable. What a name. My missus, I was going to call my youngest son Yaya, but she wouldn't have me. Yaya Gallagher. A legend in the making. She wouldn't have it, though. Beside him, Gareth Barry. He's so underrated, it's unbelievable. When he's out for City, we miss him because he just holds it all together. Mega player. Got the medal. End off. Sorry, Colin Bell. On the left, playing wide, not his best position. Sami Nasri. Now, we've not seen the best of him at City, but the best is yet to come. And he gets in because he's got the medal. David Silva. Hands down, the best midfielder in the league on his day. Unplayable. He was. I remember seeing his debut at White Hart Lane, and where we drew 0-0. And Harry Redknapp, God bless him. Spurs battered us that day, and he made his debut with Yaya Toure. And Harry said, well, they've just paid £28 million for Silva today. He didn't look like a £28 million player to me. What's he got round his neck though, Harry? That brings us to the two strikers. The first is Tevez. Hands down, every single football supporter who knows anything about the game would take him in an instant, regardless of what he gets up to off the pitch or how difficult he might be. Aguero, centre-forward. I don't know of any player in our league, particularly an English player, under that amount of pressure, who, when he gets the ball in the penalty area, and Taiwo, I think it was, fouls him, takes his legs out. Any English player, centre-forward, I guarantee you, goes down there. They go down, they take the penalty, they give it to somebody else, they don't worry about it. The way he stayed on his feet to take the responsibility and put it in the net was just staggering. On the bench is all the 68 championship winning team. And Mario, of course, playing his iPad, worrying about what funky hairdo to get next year. But anyway, there you go, that's my 11. You're not in it, Merson. Good night.
You're listening to the Fantasy FC podcast, brought to you by Sky Sports.
That was Noel Gallagher's 1-11. You Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to start the Q&A now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. All your questions on Twitter. Yeah. Will Holmes says Courtois or Lloris?
Cool, good question. I'll start. Good question. I think they're both top goalies. I'm just going to go with Courtois. Just, but. Okay. I think we're quite blessed with goalies in the Premier League. There's some outstanding goalies.
Graham Paisley, similar question. Whisper or Whisper Gold?
Whisper Gold's got the toffee
it's
in it.
It's got the sort of caramel.
Yeah, I'm on a diet now, but I would take the Whisper Gold with the toffee. A bit more sweeter.
I'll just go plain Whisper, actually. Josh Worrell says, will Leicester crumble or can they go on and make history? Is their squad deep enough?
I don't think it needs to be deep enough as it goes. I mean, if they stay away from injuries, it's going to get difficult. The longer it goes on, teams, you know, against the top teams haven't got a problem, but I think Leicester teams who are in relegation battles fighting for their lives are going to set up 10 behind the ball and say, break us down. There's a long, long way to go. I would still be shocked if Leicester won the league.
Jez, why is Merce so bad at pronouncing names longer than four letters?
I'm dyslexic.
It's not very nice of Jez, was it?
Not really, a bit bang out of order. Should feel bad about himself anyway.
Martin, best midfielder.
To be fair, it took me 6 years to now Ali Adier, and he don't play football for anybody anymore, so.
You told us that last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
See, I need running out of anecdotes. I need to go to the
doctor. Anecdotes.
That's hanging around with you, Dave.
Martin asks, best midfielder England have?
Oh, good question again. God. Best midfielder.
Who are you looking at?
What are you talking about? What's a Sterling?
Ali, Diane.
I like Dele Alli and I like Barkley, but I think they're number sort of attacking. Mm. You know, if you are holding midfield player, you know, you've got your Carricks and your Dyer.
Who's holding for England then? They've got Carrick, Dyer, Henderson, Milner.
Yeah, Milner and Henderson. Not for me. I would go
Dyer
or Carrick. Yeah, I think they get the ball. They're more disciplined. Because Henderson's full of energy and Milner's full of energy, so they want to bomb forward. I think the other two are more disciplined and
Dyer's distribution's better than I thought.
They're better passers of the ball where they can find people very quickly.
Stephen says, Merce, from your time at Arsenal, who was the most likely to lead you to the casino or the horses?
It would have been the other way around. Okay. I'm not a casino man, if I'm being honest.
No, they're sterile, aren't they?
I don't know what that means, but anyway.
David Nolan, do you actually like each other? Because Merce looked happier with Venus.
I'm sure you put these questions in. Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, of course I'm happy. I'm on a diet, which is hard.
Is that making you grumpy? That's not related to who you like more out of me.
No. I like both of you. I don't dislike anybody.
Okay. Richard said, what's quicker in a 10-metre sprint, an ant or a beetle?
They both know what way they're going.
I think let's say there
was an ant goes, you know what I mean, all over the place. A beetle's pretty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but an ant's got more pace, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, he's carrying less weight, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing you've got to look at, do you know what I mean? You know, Cheltenham round the corner, you know, whoever carrying the less weight's got more of a chance, isn't it?
There's so more drag
I'll go with ant
as well. Yeah. Chris says, what would you and Merce do next if you were on the Manchester United board?
Take a dividend.
Sell
like
it.
5 million.
Sell it. I would sell it.
Take a 5 million dividend and then go from there, really.
David Haynes, why is Merce so biased against Newcastle United?
See, people say this. How am I? I said that they bought well. You know, I think they're playing well, but they got beat by Everton. What do you want me to say? You know, unlucky. And then they were very good against West Brom, but couldn't get a second goal. I don't think they'll get relegated. I don't. I think they've got some good players and they've got massive, you know, good home fans, and away from home they sell out. So nothing against Newcastle. I hope they stay up. Of course I do.
Mike asked, Bournemouth for top 10 next year?
Says enough, doesn't it? Top 10?
Top 10.
No chance.
Wishley asked, says, has Paul Merson ever thought about managing again?
No, I never say never, but I do love my job at Sky, so, you know,
You're good at it as well.
I'd much rather be working at Sky.
Rob 10 says, has Merce calmed down now after his Everton rant?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. It was only my opinion. I mean, I like Everton. I mean, they should be better than they are. I mean, they've got some very, very good players. And seriously, if you'd have watched them last week at Stoke, seriously, they're a different class.
Jack says, favourite sandwich?
Favourite sandwich would be... if I stop at a garage, I like the sweet corn and tuna.
Yeah, but you're not going to get your best sandwich out of a garage, are you?
No, but if I'm going in a garage, but if I wanted to make one, I'd probably go ham, lettuce, tomato, salad cream.
Salad cream's good.
Boom.
Well, I made a bacon, lettuce, tomato,
no,
avocado.
No, it's not BLT, man.
You're not? What about
I don't like avocado.
Really?
Freddie loves avocado. I don't like it.
You should... it took me a while to get into avocado. I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
Keep persevering with it.
But I like Guatemala.
Nice place.
Oh, yeah. What's the stuff you use on Doritos?
Guacamole.
Oh, guacamole.
I'll tell you what, Guatemala's a beautiful city, beautiful country.
Seriously. Got to get back to school.
Alfgas says, would you go back to Soccer AM? It's a question for me. No, because I like working with Paul Merson too much.
Right, I think.
We've already done that Mourinho question. Dan asks, Merce, how much would it cost to see you snog Martin Keown?
There's enough money.
$200,000
Really that much?
$100,000 $50,000
Well, if you're offering me 200, I'll take the 200,
no,
won't I?
No.
But if you're like going 50...
Where's your limit? Where's your limit?
I don't know.
£10,000
No, not 10.
15.
No, 50.
50. But proper... a proper big tonguey kiss.
Oh, proper. Yeah. And a love bite.
And a love bite. Oh, who's biting who?
Whatever. $50,000 Seriously, you're joking me.
H. Ali says, who would you have take penalties for your team, Zidane or Letizia?
Matt Letizia all day long.
Jamie says, should clubs be limited to how many players they can loan out?
Yeah, I very much agree with that. I think no more than, I would say three, but if you do that rule, you're holding players back who never look like they're going to play for their clubs. Like at Chelsea, they've got about 20-odd players out on loan who they're not going to play for the first team, so they might as well go out on a loan.
Two more questions. Tony says, who would win in a fight, me or you?
I don't know, I'm not a fighter, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it would be like Bridget Jones' diary fight, wouldn't it?
But a charity boxing match.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me. Who would win? You would win.
Boxing, I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
I've never punched anyone.
Well, I'd definitely win then. I'd kiss Martin Keown, put the $50,000 on me to win the match at evens, and I've got $100,000
And finally, Sam Gregory asks, in a zombie apocalypse, what's more desirable in a vehicle, all right? Off-road capability or fuel economy?
You lost me at the lights. So I don't even...
So there's a zombie apocalypse, right?
What's apocalypse?
So, like, the zombies are coming. The zombies are coming.
I would just say that, then. Why complicate it?
So me and you are in a car, right? The zombies are coming. Yeah. Is it more important that our car can do off-road or it's got good fuel economy so we can just keep on going?
Oh. I don't know, really.
Depends where we are.
Yeah,
it
depends where you are and what the zombies can do. Do you know what I mean? Because they can crumble, can't they?
Well, they just walk sort of slowly, so we'll get away from
them.
Oh,
no rush. Might as well just go off field and then jump out when we run out of petrol, and then we just jog on. Do you know what I mean? They ain't catching us, are they? Have you seen how they walk?
That is true.
They're so slow.
But if we had fuel economy, we could just drive for like a good few days, get to a bolt hole in Scotland, you know, get some supplies, because there'll be no one in the shop, so we'll go into whatever shop we like, get all our supplies.
Yeah, but what? Why wouldn't there be anybody in the shop?
Because they've all been... That's what happens in those films.
So why are we going to Scotland if they're already there?
Well, the zombies aren't already there. We're getting away from the zombies.
They must be there because there's no one in the shop.
That's a good point. We just need to get to the airport, don't we? And hope a zombie's not flying the plane. At some point, though, regardless, we are going to have to take on the zombies, aren't we?
Yeah. Whatever.
And if you've been bitten by Keown and he's already become a zombie, then we're struggling. Then you're a zombie. And then I'm alone.
I'm starting to get like that now as you talk, if I'm being honest.
Thanks, Peter. Did you like the Q&A?
No, I did. It was better questions this week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Do keep the questions coming. We enjoy them. We'll finish with Steve Howie's 1-11. We're about to record that. If you want to hear his stories about training drunk and the joys of training with Ginola and Aspria, watch the Fantasy Football Club. Do you want to know when we're on?
Yeah, please, mate.
Friday, 6:30 p.m.
Brilliant.
Sky Sports 1. Yeah. Good time?
Yeah, very.
11:30 p.m. as well.
Yeah, another good time. Yeah. So you get people getting ready to go out watching it. People coming in after being out watching it.
Who's getting ready at 11:30 to go out?
No, it's 6:30.
Oh, right, I'm with you. Wow. We're like the League of Their Own after party, aren't we, the 11:30?
Don't mind that.
That's good.
Don't mind that. That's a top program.
And then both of our dreams, Saturday morning, the Soccer AM warm-up show.
Yeah.
That's what we... What we want, isn't it?
I've always had that. It must be hard for you. Do you know what I mean? Seriously, that's like being Coldplay, and then like warming up James Blunt. Do you know what I mean? How's your luck? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying James Blunt's no good because I do like you, but he's not bigger than Coldplay, is he? Coldplay played in the NFL.
No, but it's like supporting. It's like being the main event and then going to be the support.
That's what I mean, yeah.
It's like the swapping.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, James Blunt in concert and before when people were walking in, chatting and all that, Coldplay playing.
Yeah. So how should I feel about that? Because I feel quite relaxed about it.
The way I've just said it, I'm devastated, really. When you put it in like that.
When you think about it in black and white terms.
Oh, he's bad, isn't it?
So basically, I'm on the slide, aren't I?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you look at it like that, though, like your warm-up, warm-up act.
A warm-up for that.
Like, so you've gone from the star turn to the warm-up.
Oh, God, that's hard, isn't it?
Wow, man.
I just need to have a
that's
long...
like going from the London Palladium.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to... playing, like, playing a little pub in Clapham.
Yeah. But what if I enjoy the pub in Clapham more? Because it's the search for ultimate happiness, isn't it, really?
Yeah, you're going to say that.
Yeah, do you think?
No, you're going to say that. Because
Do you think inside it's eating me up?
I don't think it was, but when I just put it in like I did, it will then. Of course it would. Why wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Coldplay, backup.
What should I do? What should I do?
And then again, I'm putting you in Coldplay's bracket, which is, that's a compliment.
It is a compliment, yeah.
Yeah.
But I could go, you know, after this podcast, who knows where we could go.
To be fair, I need to keep an eye on you for the next hour or two after that. So, just to keep an eye on you. Yeah, just to keep an eye on you.
All right, well, listen, while I start feeling sorry for myself, you guys listen to Steve Howie's 1 to 11. Have a lovely weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right, Steve, time for your 1 to 11. Difficult to narrow it down?
Absolutely. Played with some fantastic players. There's a lot of players that have made that. Haven't gone for a strong midfield, sort of tackling-wise.
Yeah.
But very, very creative.
All right, let's start in goal.
In goal, I'm going for Pavel Cernicek. Again, you know, played with Schmeichel and Shaka Hislop, Shea Given, great goalkeepers. But Pav, just for his pure athleticism, was absolutely frightening. You know, very commanding in the box once he settled down at Newcastle, because at early part he was kind of, he struggled a little bit. But once he'd settled down, he was a great goalkeeper. Yes, he was prone to drop a one in now and again, but goalkeepers, you know yourself, if they make a mistake, 9 times out of 10, it ends up in the back of the net. But great goalkeeper.
And it's such a tragedy as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a lad of his age, we had a game last year for like Newcastle and Liverpool for like kind of to redo the 4-3 of that famous game, and all the boys were getting stripped in the dressing rooms, and you can imagine one or two of us hadn't really looked after ourselves. There's like pot bellies and all that kind of thing, and Pav took his clothes off and he was absolutely ripped. It's absolutely frightening. But yeah, I mean, really devastating that we've lost them. But what a you know, very, very special man.
Right back.
I am going to go for my mate Dunny, Richard Dunn.
At right back?
At right back.
Okay.
Yeah. He played there a few times at Man City. He played there at centre half as well with me. I know he played a couple of times full back for Everton. Dunny's like it was like a freight train. When I was there, I thought he was a very, very good player. But he only went on to get better and better at Manchester City and Aston Villa.
Underrated, wasn't he?
I thought so. And I thought, you know, even for the Republic of Ireland, some of the performances he used to put in were absolutely awesome. Very good player. Wouldn't like to tackle him because, I mean, he was built like an outhouse, shall we say.
Four years on the trot, he got Player of the Year.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah,
four years at Man City on the trot.
He was awesome. Great player and a great lad.
I don't think Messi's done that at Barcelona, has he? Seriously.
So Richard Dunn is better than Leo Messi, that's what we're saying.
At defending.
Yeah. And top boy as well. Centre-backs?
I am going to go for Philippe Albert.
Should he have been a centre-half or a centre-midfield player?
He should have been a centre-forward, in all fairness. Great ability, superb left foot. You know, he had a wand. I mean, there's the famous goal against Schmeichel, you know, the chip. You know, it's absolutely frightening.
Is.
But not only that, what an absolute superb lad. Great lad. He really took to the northeast, you know, like a duck to water. Special lad. I mean, there was him, there was Mark Hottinger, and obviously David. We had them three, and they absolutely loved it. But like me and Lee Clark and Steve Watson, we made sure that they liked it, you know, and they just embraced it completely. Maybe Phil a little bit more than others.
Mm. Next to him?
Just because he's a defender, and that's Darren Peacock. He was one of these where he didn't like to venture forward. He was one of these where he was better without the ball. Because I think Peasy at times sometimes used to give the ball away on purpose so you could go and tackle somebody. but I can remember we bought him on the strength of, we played QPR at Loftus Road and obviously we had Coley up front, they had Peasy at the back and Les up front. And I remember Kevin sort of saying to me, look after Les, you know, they'll do your power good, you know, your reputation type thing. And Peasy was one of these where if you tell him to follow him, and like, you know, if he goes to the loo, follow him, he was that. And Coley never got a sniff that game. And I mean, we still won the game, but he was awesome. But one thing I did like about him, Newcastle, when he first signed, he did a favourite, so favourite, like, destination, favourite food. And he said favourite drink, and he put milk. And I'm like, really? Are you sure? It's never going to work, if that's the truth.
Left back.
Left back, Sylvain Distan. Forgot about that. he played left back at Newcastle. Obviously, did really well when he was at Everton. I thought he did really well at Manchester City. A pure athlete.
Yeah, he's quick, isn't he?
Very, very quick. He's one of these where, positional sense-wise, he's not brilliant and he gets caught out, but because he's so quick, because he's such an athlete, he managed to get back. You know, big, strong, powerful lad. I mean, look, he's 38 and he's still
I'm
playing.
I'm a big fan of his. I was still now to play in the Premier League at that age is just ridiculous.
Yeah, frightening. Good lad. I mean, I know we took the mick out of him, but he was a good boy. Yeah. Really good lad.
Right midfield.
Keith Gillespie at Newcastle, but I've gone with Wright Phillips. We had. Phillips, something like that. We had Darren Huckabee as well on the left, on the right hand side, and the two of them used to switch at Man City. They used to terrorise the fullbacks. But Wrighty was—he's just his low sense of gravity, getting round players. He used to hit the floor, bounce up so quickly, and get up and again. And I mean, he got the big move to Chelsea afterwards. And then it's funny because he kind of petered out. Mm. You know, he burst onto the scene. Everybody was raving about him. And then he kind of petered out a little bit. I think he went to QPR, didn't really play. You're wondering what was going on. But a really good lad. Very, very quiet in the dressing room. Didn't really have that much to say. I think eventually when I'd left...
What, like his dad?
Oh, yeah. Because he was quiet. By all accounts in the dressing room, he was a lot better. You know, is he got more, his feet kind of more under the table.
Who's in the middle?
I have gone with Ile Berkovic. I'll just put Berks because I can't spell that one either. One for me, I mean, I played against him a few times when he was at West Ham and stuff like that, and I always thought he was talented. But, you know, when you need people in the trenches and stuff like that, probably he'll go missing a little bit. And then now and again, on the odd game that we had, you could be guilty of that. But when he was on form, he was brilliant. He was, I mean, really, really good. I played with Gary Speed there, who was superb. Rob Lee, David Batty. But for all-round ability, he's not going to win you a 50-50. There's no danger of that. But all-round ability, he was superb. There was him and another lad that I'm going to put in there. For Man City, they were absolutely awesome and just used to set up all kinds. The one next to them is Ali Benabia.
Yeah, we had a few players put him on.
I forgot all about this lad, and in the last year and a half, everybody's put him in their team. Everybody who's played with him has put him in.
I mean, I remember playing against him when he was at Monaco. There was him and there was Collins and Thierry Henry. And he just completely bossed the midfield. The story with Ali was Kevin. I think there was one of these super agents, Black. I can't remember his first name. And he was. I think he'd picked Ali up from Heathrow or somewhere like that, and he was driving him up to go and see either Sunderland or Newcastle. It was one of them clubs. And Kevin had sort of said, you know, who have you got? And he'd obviously sort of said Ali Benabia, and Kevin was like, the Ali Benabia, and he was like, yeah. And he went, well, where's he going? And he went, I'm taking him to Sunderland Newcastle. And he went, no, he's not. And we'd signed him that afternoon. And he
was from PSG, wasn't
it? PSG, yeah.
Kevin King's just at the airport with a sign.
Superb.
Just in case.
He was a great player. Lovely lad, very quiet. Got on with what he had to do. Good trainer, good solid trainer. I think the Man City fans, when he joined, they weren't quite sure who he was, but very quickly realised what a fabulous player he was.
Who's on the left?
I'll call him David, his proper name.
What a guy.
But it's David Ginola.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. Had everything. Mm. Absolutely everything. You know, he could... He used to sort of say to John Beresford, because Bez used to sort of look at him and he would see that there was a player right behind him, but he would sort of say, and Bez would, like, think, well, should I give him it or not? But he would say to Bez, give me it. The tighter he is, the better I am. And he would get it, he could turn left, he could turn right. And I've seen him absolutely destroy players. Neil Cox in particular, I think his debut was against Middlesbrough. Yeah. And I think the St John's ambulance man had come on two or three times to untie
him. He liked training at the university, didn't he? He didn't have, like, a proper training ground.
No, it's not like it is now, because now the facilities that you've got are absolutely fabulous. I mean, we trained at a place called the Graham Sports Centre at Durham, which was part of the university. Now, we did have our own dressing room, but when you had a shower, you actually just got showered with somebody that was part of Durham University. So you had likes of Les Ferdinand, or Peter Beasley and David Ginola in a row, and some lad in the middle of them that just played badminton that's doing a course at Durham University.
I love that, it's so good.
And David would be like, "That, what's going on? You know, I'm from PSG. But like, you're not, it's Saint-Tropez now, mate. It's, this is Durham, this is Newcastle, get on with it."
All right, you've got a minute and a half. Put your strikers in together for us.
Right, best player I ever played with, Peter Beasley. Had everything. I think, what do you call it, Kevin? Sometimes, even when Peter sometimes used to skank it out of play, the manager used to sort of say it's our fault because we weren't on the same level as him. But I had everything. When he got the ball and he did that trick, even defenders knew it was coming. Yeah, he couldn't do anything.
No one does that now, do they? I've never seen anybody do that.
Great, great player. Very, very cutting, Peter. Yeah. Can be. But the best player I've ever played with for week in, week out. I mean, because this is what it all is. These are players I've played in, week out, trained in day in, day out, rather than like an international team or something like that.
Who's that from?
There's only one. Yeah. And that's Shearer. Had everything for me. Could score goals. He could finish, like, place them. He could blast them. Top corner, bottom corner, right, left foot, header. Brave, aggressive. Had everything.
Strong as an ox, wasn't
he? Had absolutely everything.
Strong.
I mean, I played against him a few times, you know, when he was at Blackburn, and you just didn't get a minute's peace. Mm. Great lad as well. It's funny because you see him on different programmes and that, and I always cane him because I just think he's boring. And all he does is lick his lips, and I'm like, will you leave your lips alone? and he sometimes texts back a couple of different things, but believe it or not, in the dressing room, he's hilarious. Real good fun lad, you know. He was always in the middle of all kinds.
Mm. Brilliant.
Steve Harris, 1 to 11, everybody.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant.
So good. Yeah. I put a C by your captain, if you would. Steve,
who's captain?
Yeah.
We'll go for
Peter Beasley.
Peter.
Beasley. Yeah. All right, well, that is it for this week. Thank you once again to our guest, Mr. Steve Howie.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football FC.
For other podcasts you might enjoy, head to skysports.com/podcast.